this day whom ye will serve. Joshua 24:10. This was a very important biblical admonition. Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli and I, Lou Cavalli, gave the Divided Kingdom program listeners on Thursday evening, October 7th. Tonight, October 14th, all the alarm bells of heaven are ringing. Hear us on WWCR Global Star, Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, and K-Star Talk Radio. Consult their websites for days and times. Occult October 2021. COVID-19 horrific vaccine plan for bondage of every man, woman, and child on Earth. That is the stunning title of tonight's program. This evil, if enacted worldwide and here in America, would eclipse all the other warnings we've ever given you. It is more imperative than ever that you tell family, friends, and church members to go to Learn the Truth at our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Yours and their very lives are now at stake. Dr. Jane Ruby reported into the Stu Peters Show Monday, October 11th, from a highly credible inside source that an LAX-based Delta Airlines pilot died in flight a few days after a COVID-19 vaccine shot. The co-pilot, thankfully, was able to land the plane safely. Another Seattle-based pilot was found in his Florida home dead from an embolism. Two Atlanta flight attendants were found dead 2 days after the second COVID shot. Seven Atlanta flight attendants had breakthrough COVID-19. And an Atlanta-based pilot with breakthrough COVID was put on remdesivir and died from kidney failure. A Salt Lake City ramp attendant and part-time firefighter died in his sleep days after getting the shot. Ruby reports that flight attendants say that when they stay at hotels, EMPs are frequently called for air workers in distress, but this is being covered up. Weather was given as the reason a number of airlines shut down in recent days, but Ruby also reported that airline workers in droves have walked off the job, taking sick leave, waiting out, and speaking out until the time for mandated clutch shots kicks in. Before we update you on the latest horrific agenda planned for mankind, Elizabeth has the story of one woman's dream in 1999. It is highly significant and was uncannily predictive.
Yes, thank you, Lou. Allie Henson had an amazing predictive dream. She tells about it in the beginning of the new book, Dark Covenant, A Deal with the Devil, written by Henson and Donna Howell, published by Defender Publishing at Crane, Missouri. And I shall read a few excerpts from this important new book, Dark Covenant, published again by Defender. And that is again Defender Publishing in Crane, Missouri. Are you awake? A glimpse of the public's discernment. The year was 1998. I, Allie Henson, had made the short drive to a rural location to attend the meeting all townspeople had been made aware of. The small makeshift room was filled with people who gazed curiously at the displays on the snapped-together plywood walls. Folding metal chairs made up several rows in the middle of the room, where those gathered for the informational meeting were soon to be seated. Charts and laboratory photographs lined the walls of this temporary portable building. It had the feel of a traveling carnival's funhouse room, and corners held together by folding hinges could be sported by the careful observer and spotted rather, and one could somewhat effectively track where the collapsible structure's joints would fold. And that would be flat once the assembly was over and it was time to make the nomadic production and take it on, make it ready to go to the next town. But unlike any carnival that's anticipated and voluntarily attended, this was a mandatory meeting for all registered residents of the tiny town. The government had sent out notice that all citizens were to be here to witness the unveiling of the military's new revolutionary superweapon. A bald, thin man wearing glasses and a lab coat called attention to those who were milling about the room, as he did. People agreeably sat down, expectant smiles across their faces. A modest team of qualified, professional-looking people then began to introduce the groundbreaking technology that had been genetically designed in a laboratory to guarantee victory against all enemies in what would likely be all future warfare. A small door on the left side of the room opened, revealing a sign indicating that all attendees were to line up single file and prepare to walk through to the other side. As it swung open, the man in the lab coat announced proudly, "Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the splicer." A hush fell over the audience members as they craned their necks to try to see what was in the next room. When I got through the door, I realized that the makeshift nature of the presentation seemed to have elevated. This wasn't just one portable room, but rather was one of many connected in a small labyrinth of cheap plywood walls posing as a transportable government office. I began to get the feeling that we were somehow being toyed with, but the wowed expressions on faces around me told me I was alone in my suspicion. We were then ushered into little circus-like cars, much like the kind a carnival ride would sport, which then took us on a moving display. We were taken through a series of rooms filled with photographs, posters, and charts, and there was even an audio file that played the voice of a man narrating various facts about the splicer's development. As we sat in these mini cars, we were carried from room to room, and in each one we were given another portion of the splicer's story to cover its conception, its visionary scientists, and the series of pioneering methods by which the weapon had been designed. Once again, I looked at the people around me. Each smiled with fascination, gleeful in advance of possessing such a powerful military tool. I wondered at their blissful acceptance of this and wished I could celebrate with them, but something wasn't right. In fact, several things weren't right. First, the makeshift nature of the building we were in lacked the quality that such cutting-edge military development would seem to deserve. Second, there was a kindergarten-like quality in the sound of the audio narrative played over the portable loudspeakers that sat in each improvised room. The narrator's tone and the chinny, brink-think quality of musical interludes between commentaries had the likeness of every book and cassette story set I had enjoyed as a small child. You know, the ones that explain at the beginning that the child is to listen for a bell cue, then turn the page. Further, this nomadic campaign-style reveal of cutting-edge warfare technology didn't seem characteristic of the military at all, which I found suspicious, especially when information about most truly ominous means of warfare is kept highly classified. And I wondered why the meeting's leaders were talking to us as though we were toddlers. They fronted larger-than-life smiles, such as those a parent displays when attempting to get a small child to take a spoonful of medicine, while using sing-song vocal tones. Worse, I wondered why no one else seemed to notice anything strange. As the car I was in entered one of the final rooms of the exhibit, the methodology of the splicer was finally revealed. Its tactic was brutish and simple. It was made to kill people, but strategically. It would identify and capture a person's scent, then hunt for that person until it till it found and killed him or her, or until it came upon his or her corpse, which would allow the monster's kill mode to disengage. At this time, it would find its way back to headquarters for a new assignment. These, quote, beasts, the narrator explained, were engineered to, quote, live for many days without food or water, never wavering from their mission. In times of war, one could merely turn them loose on the enemy with the right scent cues, and they would pursue relentlessly until they fatally conquered their prey. The whole thing was unbelievable, really. No animal within creation has such capabilities. But that, we were assured, was the beauty of lab-designed bioweaponry. The impossible becomes impossible. As we entered the next room, what I saw horrified me. It was a giant cage, and displayed inside were several of these splicer creations. My first instinct was to look intently at the cage, hoping its construction bore better integrity than that of the temporary building we had been touring. It did appear to be strong, which was good, since the snarling beasts were growling at passers-by, charging at the cage walls and attempting to break through its bars. The creature's fangs were enormous and sharp, their frames looking something like an overgrown spiky hyena with deranged eyes boring into the souls of the individuals they glared at hungrily. They were formidable foes indeed, and I wondered why we civilians were being shown these monstrosities. Worse, I wondered still why nobody else seemed to find the entire display amiss. Then I got my answer. With a downward whirring sound, the cars all wound to a stop. Concerned-looking officials approached each car, instructing passengers to disembark and meet in another room. Clearly, something had gone wrong. We were seated in more rows of folding chairs in similar fashion to those in the first room where we had met, and the man in the lab coat who had originally addressed the crowd walked to the front of the room and began to nervously address the assembly. "Ladies and gentlemen," he began, "there has been a problem." A low murmur spread across the crowd. "Two of the splicers have escaped." He paused, fidgeting with his hands while looking down nervously. "The fact that they have moved from their cages indicates that each one has triggered on someone's scent and has already begun pursuit. Understand that this is an ultimate threat. At least two of you are in grave danger. They are masters at stealth, will stop at nothing, and will continue their hunt, even if they're wounded. We have no way of knowing which people here are in danger, but we do know that these weapons are extremely dangerous. They are very hard to kill, impossible for a civilian, in fact, and they'll remain committed to their endeavor until they successfully find and kill their target." The voices across the room began to sound panicked. People looked around at one another as if hoping for a visual cue that could indicate danger. The speaker raised a finger so he could continue addressing the crowd, and the wave of voices finally fell again. "Fortunately, such complications were considered in advance of bringing these informational meetings to each community, and we have come prepared with a remedy. In order to guarantee the protection of everyone here, we must implement this solution immediately." A woman, presumably a nurse or other type of medical personnel, came into the room pushing a medical supply cart. Across its stainless steel top shelf, a countless number of small syringes, preloaded and still capped, sat next to a package of individually wrapped alcohol wipes and a few other medical-looking materials. This all seemed far too convenient, and the skepticism I had felt since arriving reached an all-time high. Glancing at those around me, however, I saw relieved faces. People were smiling again, and many were whispering things like, "I'm so glad they came prepared," and, "Oh, what a relief." "Ladies and gentlemen," the man again addressed the crowd, silencing them, "allow me to present what we call smart DNA. The contents of these syringes contain a solution that, while completely safe in every way, will make such subtle changes to your DNA that your body's chemistry will adjust, altering the scent it releases. By allowing us to administer this solution, each of you will be guaranteed that the splicer will not be tracking your scent. I'm afraid it's for this reason that nobody will be allowed to leave today until the smart DNA inoculations have been administered. However, it is a simple and painless procedure and will only take a moment of your time. Then, rest assured, the splicers will disengage from the altered sense and all will be well." I looked around in disbelief. I had a million questions. None of this added up. Why had they really brought us here? The military never goes from town to town showing off its most recent form of warfare, so this display did not make sense to me in the first place. Then there was the sheer irresponsibility involved in exposing civilians to such beasts that could potentially target single individuals of the general public. How had they lacked the foresight to realize that such creatures should be kept under top-notch security, but then somehow had the anticipation to arrive with enough DNA-altering vaccinations to inoculate all attendees? I also wondered what was in the vaccine that would be powerful enough to change one's DNA, yet was still somehow supposedly safe. How did the, quote, scientists behind this know the substance wouldn't alter other functions of the body besides just the scent it put out? And why were these people still talking to us as though we were 4 years old? 5 years old, I guess the writer wrote. There's not a lot of difference there between those two ages. As I looked around incredulously, attempting to put into words my first of many protests, I was dumbfounded by the pleasant expressions on everyone's faces. They had been scared for a minute, but now each person only looked relieved that the powers that be had brought a solution. Never mind that they had been the ones who had brought the problem in the first place. An attendee was directed to line up. Then more attendees were directed to line up single file in front of the stainless steel cart. The nurse-appearing woman began to administer smart DNA inoculations. The acronym SMART was never explained. I walked, stunned, amidst the crowd, looking for anyone else who seemed to be disturbed by this suspicious turn of events. I found no one. Not one individual seemed to be angry about the setup, hesitant about receiving the syringe's contents, or otherwise wary of any aspect of all these circumstances. Everyone just seemed to be glad the problem was about to be solved as each person sequentially lined up to receive the smart DNA injection. Mom, I was jolted back into reality by my 2-year-old son waking me up looking for his breakfast. Mom, are you awake? And if you feel that something isn't right in the secular world or the religious institution, you are not imagining it. The crowds are being controlled. The masses are inviting the end of days. The church is missing an opportunity. Mom, are you awake? I am now. Are you?
Yes. There was this highly disturbing warning dream given to Ellie Henson in 1999. As you recall, the subtitle of that first chapter, Are You Awake?, in the book, Dark Covenant, was A Glimpse of the Public's Discernment. Everywhere we see dissembling and propaganda, cover-up. Even the Prince of the Air, it is dark beings interrupt the airways on our October 7th broadcast, when I, Luke Averly, told you about the probable end of the career of New York Jets defensive end, Vinnie Curry. Deleted into silence was my reporting that Vinnie Curry, 33-year-old NFL defensive end, would miss the entire 2021 season.
His name was gone from the airwaves.
That's right. Just disappeared. There was a little blank in that particular place. Anyway, he's going to miss the entire 2021 season and is likely done playing professional football. Vinnie Curry received one of the messenger RNA COVID injections sometime this summer. He even did a public service announcement promoting how great it would be for people to get the, quote, safe, effective, unquote, injections. Not long afterward, Curry's bland belief in the clot shots must have undergone a real shock. His truth for his life now became having to have his spleen removed because of, quote, a rare blood disorder, unquote. ESPN also reported Vinnie Curry had blood clots. According to the NFL, quote, Tier 1 employees, coaches, trainers, and others who are in close contact with players are required to get the jabs if they want to keep their jobs, unquote. So far, at least 2 NFL assistant coaches have been fired because they refused to take the shots. The Buffalo Bills are continually in the news because many of the team's players have refused to get them as well. Things changed fast for Vinnie Curry and his belief system. Just so, you and I must be very alert to seek the truth as God reveals it. A viewer sent this caption to the Stu Peters show on October 13th, quote, "Freemasons are fabricating chaos to destroy our civilization and build back better as they like," unquote. Now, what is unique about this caption is that the three B's have been changed to sixes. The B's in build back better have been easily rounded to make them into sixes instead of B's, hence 666. We can easily all be deceived by surface news accounts and think we have all the answers when we have merely grazed the surface of Lucifer's present killing and enslavement plan. October 8th, I, Lou, wrote a follow-up essay to the two most recently posted, written by Elizabeth and me, at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And I would remark, if you go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, you can see our essays by clicking on the tab for breaking news. So this is my new essay. In our last two essays, we've reported on the work of Dr. Carrie Madej and Dr. Zandre Bother in exposing foreign substances in the COVID vaccines. These doctors appeared as guests in the Stu Peters Show. Strange and troubling sights were revealed under the microscope. Circular rings arranged symmetrically in neat geometric patterns. These disappeared as the vaccine solution evaporated. In their place came jagged lines reminiscent of barbed wire or electronic diagrams. Neither doctor had seen anything like them before. Scientists have begun to supply some answers to this puzzle. Dr. Jane Ruby, also appearing with Stu Peters, said that experts call this technology microbubbles. It has been in development for a number of years. The discs are a payload or delivery system. She speculated that the discs may be designed to break open and deliver some substance. When they are not open, the liquid vaccine is clear. When they open, the vaccine is no longer clear. The natural question we would ask is this: what is being delivered? Is it something innocuous? Perhaps a way to indicate if the vaccine is still fresh enough to use? Or is it, as we suspect, something far from harmless? One fact seems to raise our suspicion that the latter is the case: the undue secrecy surrounding everything about the vaccines. The contents of the vaccines have never been revealed. No insert with a list of ingredients is provided with the vaccines. Why not? Other medications come with a detailed list of ingredients and numerous warnings of possible side effects. Whole pages of magazines are taken up with such details. But the vaccines have been shrouded in secrecy ever since they were introduced. We can only conclude that the drug companies have some very serious things that must be hidden from the people. Until the pharmaceutical companies come clean with the public, they can expect thoughtful people to be cautious about the vaccines. Even if we could ignore the moral issue of the fetal cell line derivation of the jabs, and we certainly cannot do that, the wise person has no desire to inject unknown substances filled with mysterious entities into his or her body. Reports from at home and overseas call into question the vaccines even work. When you combine this with the frequent reports of serious injuries following the COVID injections, it's no wonder that vaccine hesitancy is widespread. It is simply the common sense approach. And now I'll just add to that essay. But in the world that Dr. Lee Merritt says now belongs to, quote, synthetic biology, unquote, with no real coronavirus isolate ever found, COVID-19 containing some HIV fragments and the witch's brew of monkey viruses and bioengineered spike proteins, we have to correct our knowledge we formerly held about COVID vaccine purposes.
Yes, Lou, the paradigm suddenly again shifted as you and I, speechless, heard Karen Kingston report Monday, October 7th at Brighteon.com. And her report was on the horrific elite plans that have made us call tonight's program for the Divided Kingdom Occult October 2021 COVID-19 Horrific Vaccine Plan for Bondage of Every Man, Woman, and Child in the World. Karen Kingston was interviewed by talk show host Stu Peters, as we said, on Monday, October 7th. And Kingston has found, in the words of Stu Peters, that this, quote, operating system, noted by doctors Carrie Madej and Zandra Botha, is some sort of, quote, obedience tool. She has found shocking patents. Kingston says that Americans falsely thought that getting the COVID shots would return them to their normal lives, and instead, these shots are a gateway to an obedience platform and potentially an execution platform if you are not obedient. She refers to patent number 2021/0082583 and section 0378 that says you may need to download an app that helps the government with procedures. Now, I'm going to interject here. Lou, you and I talked about the latest information again that Bill Gates and his organization were using all this in South Africa, I believe, the trust stamp, working with MasterCard, and these were now inside the body. They were injected with the COVID-19 vaccines. This operating platform was working. People couldn't even use cash anymore. Is that right?
That's right. Yes, it is right.
What do you think about this?
Well, that just reminds everyone that's thinking, that has any knowledge of the Bible, of the mark of the beast. What could be clearer than that? Injecting something into the body that takes over, and that's what this messenger RNA is thought to do.
So that eventually you can't buy or sell without permission.
Exactly, yes.
Moving on with Karen Kingston's talk, Australia now, anyone? I've interjected that. This is Kingston again, her info, when users receive a push notification to check in, you see, with this app, they have a 5-minute window to take a photo of themselves. The app then matches the image and location with the person's registered details to ensure compliance with their quarantine direction. And now we point out again, in that predictive dream that I read about by Allie Hansen, her question was, where's the discernment of the other people? They kept accepting all of these illogical excuses and reasons that the problem caused by the people presenting these new smart DNA things, the problem with the splicer and all of it had been brought by them. And then they were going to propose, the Hegelian solution. But, see, most people were not awake to see that. So here we have to realize now in Australia what is happening, and that this is not just meant for Australia. Of course, we're not that naive. So, again, these people, you see, receive this push notification to check in. They've got 5 minutes to send a photo of themselves on the app. And this is matched to some details that they had provided earlier, you see, at central headquarters. What if I am sleeping or showering or gardening when I receive a check-in request and don't respond? Well, Kingston says if you miss your check-in window, you will be sent a second check-in request shortly after the first one. And if you miss the second request, the app will prompt you to give a reason. Police will then determine what further action, if any, is required, such as follow-up calls or a physical check-in. How horrified are you, Lou?
It's pretty scary to me.
Pretty darn scary, isn't it?
Yes.
It's worse than the splicer in the dream, that's for sure.
Yep.
The app or smart device informs Now, I guess that's a Freudian slip, because we're all in this together. If we don't stand up and do something like Governor Abbott has done now. He's not going to let all these mandated vaccines happen in Texas in small companies, and there's going to be a fight. Other GOP governors are seeming to rally, too. So anyway, this smart device or app informs of the user's location at all times. It communicates with adjacent smart devices via Bluetooth, for example. And all of this is assessing the interactions between users. For example, vicinity between users and movement of users, et cetera. In other words, your comings and goings are just going to be there all the time in the record. In some embodiments, the app will also be used to send personalized communication to the users, for example, to come and be vaccinated. In some embodiments, in view of the information received from the app, specific actions are taken. For example, you send a communication to the user to enhance his awareness to behavioral rules during pandemics to come, and be vaccinated to avoid certain locations. Now, are we beginning to see the tyranny? I hope so. This is me speaking. This is Elizabeth. So that everything will be scrutinized, and anybody who's trying to dissent from any of this, they're going to get special communications, you see. There'll be more of an awareness. There'll be more of tracking on them, of course. And so... And also, supposedly, these users of all this, the app holders, will be told to avoid certain locations which are at high risk of contagion. Last week in Australia, there was launched the G2G app. And this was, a tool, you see, that helps Western Australia police protect the community by conducting remote app checks on people in quarantine. And the app uses facial verification technology and phone location data to ensure people in quarantine remain at their registered address throughout their quarantine period. How important are these two factors, Lou? Facial recognition and being able to check their phone location, this data.
Well, it means that you are basically in jail. You might as well be in a prison because they can track you down, and if you don't do exactly what they say, well, they're going to get you. And it's that simple.
So you're really in a sort of a prison or a quarantine camp, even in your own home.
Yes.
Question, if I miss my check-in multiple times, will I get fined? If you miss your check-in window, and this is from Karen Kingston again, the researcher, the app will prompt you to give a reason if this happens multiple times, or you do not provide a valid reason. Police may attend your address to check on your compliance with the quarantine direction given to you. Now, we can assume that quarantine direction may be pick up your little bag and you're going with us, don't you think?
Could very well be.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, stay in this one place and don't you dare get anywhere else.
Yeah, and we can see the execution squad will come later, the splicers in the dream. We can see where this is leading. I'd have to agree with Karen Kingston that it's first an obedience platform, and if it isn't stopped, it becomes an execution platform. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. That's the next logical step.
And so now the information says if you have traveled from a high-risk jurisdiction and are over the age of 16, you are legally required to comply with instructions from the G2G Now app. There's the name of it again, listeners, the G2G Now app. If you consistently fail to comply with check-in requests without a good reason, you may have committed an offense under the Emergency Management Act, which can result in fines of up to $50,000 and imprisonment. Does the app record or track my location? Yes, it does. G2G gives authorities the ability to individualize people's check-in requirements. It is not unusual for people to receive check-in requests at different times of the day or more than other people. Now, what does that tell you, Lou? More than other people and maybe being harassed like a lot of times during the day. What does that tell you?
It tells you that if you make any protests, they're going to clamp down on you especially hard.
Target.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good word for it.
And will my photos only be used for this app and quarantine compliance purposes? These are photos, remember, you had to take yourself and send in. Or will they be kept on police record? Well, the information claims this, you see, that they're only collecting through G2G Now information that is monitoring quarantine arrangements. They say it's not collected for general policing purposes. The information will be stored and used only as permitted or required by law. Yes, but we hear that everything about you is now owned by the government. That's what's implied in all of this. Stu Peters said this is happening in Australia right now. Imagine how a military, by remote control, can be turned on the people. Kingston points out that the WHO, the World Health Organization, describes use of software to be incorporated to stop super spreaders. December 13th of 2016, under the Obamacare Act, Section 3024, it was passed that during a UA and under clinical research, informed consent was waived. You want to know where that came from again? Informed consent is waived, can be waived under Obamacare, the Obamacare Act, Section 3024. And this was passed December 13th, 2016. Now, if informed consent is not in the best interest of a human subject to know, that's the other part of it. We're not deciding whether we need to be informed, are we, Lou?
No, of course, informed consent means you know what you're going to get.
But this government here, you see,
decides
whether we are worthy of this informed consent. So if the government decided we shouldn't know we were injected with a smart device, it's not in our best interest then. That would not be disclosed to us. So tonight we are bringing you this big bombshell. You can no longer be naive. You have to know that the time of what the dream called the smart DNA and the splicer, the artificial intelligence is here. We've been very much alarmed to hear that the Department of Defense actually has an artificial intelligence section or bureau or whatever you want to call it, and that they are tracking the number of COVID deaths. Now, why would they be doing that if we aren't part of a worldwide planned genocide? You recall in the last program how we told you that on the runway, fashion runway in 2019, there was a model named COVID. So we think that we were being told that we would not have this informed consent. And so now, after this, we want to move on a little bit more. There's still a little more from Karen Kingston's interview. Section 0400 of the patent ominously states that persons identified as, quote, super spreaders could be given more potent doses. Now, Lou, that's like the Soviet Union when they used psychiatric reasons to take dissidents to the camps and keep injecting them with poisons.
Yes, exactly. Exactly,
so,
like that.
Tyranny always has the same kind of devices, I think.
Oh, yes.
Now, scores for so-called super spreaders would have insertions changing things, raising or lowering the scores. Now, this is like the Chinese social credit score. Again, this is all tied politically. This has nothing to do with our health. This is going to be how much we can participate in society if we won't go along with the tyranny. Can't we see here how arbitrary and tyrannical this could be to those who did not obey or facilitate the vaccine obedience platform and its tyranny? Kingston pointed out Section 006, I believe that it is, that came out of a publication called Prioritized strategies. I'm trying to see if that's correct. Yes, I think. Prioritized strategies for pandemic influenza vaccine for 27 countries of the EU and Global Health Security Action Group. That's a big one, isn't it, Lou?
Boy, it sure is. Yeah.
And now she says there are 38 nations in this organization that is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. So we see this is the final empire rising, the final one world government with all its tentacles. And so it's coming to us. We will be prioritized. Karen Kingston tells us our own government has made a commitment to this organization that I mentioned, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. And so I believe our Secretary of State has put us into this. And the director of a Artificial Intelligence Initiative Office at the White House, and this is Lynn Parker. Again, that's the director of Artificial Intelligence Initiative Office. Did you know we had one of those under Sleepy Biden? Well, I didn't know that. Did you, Lou?
I had no idea.
And Lynn Parker stated, quote, "We must prepare the future and present U.S. workforce for integration of AI, that's artificial intelligence systems, across all sectors of the economy and society." And she went on to explain that this represented everybody from kindergarten age up through the community colleges. And so the idea eventually, we have first heard that foreign workers will be brought in, you know, by Kathy Hochul in New York. If these first-line health workers quit, they don't want the shots, the clot shots, and these foreign workers will come in. But I think that's temporary because eventually their plan is to provide all American health workers jobs, not to human beings, but to artificial intelligence. Won't that be a lot easier to kill people, Lou? We heard yesterday on Natural News, we heard it reported that in a hospital in Texas, an elderly woman was in a wheelchair with a plastic bag over her face as she was wheeled to go for some tests. Didn't we?
We did, and that was unbelievable. And this idea of, you're right, that, you know, robots have no conscience. They can slaughter you without the slightest qualm.
So this may become the norm, the Mengele norm. What happened to this woman? We certainly hope that this will cause a large furor, that people will not accept this. But we are proud that under a lot of stress and satanic opposition to us, you'd be surprised if we were to tell you all of it, that we've been able to work all morning so that we could present this to you, that you will hear this. This is the plan, and you must pray hard. You must prepare yourselves with heavy prayer, and you must surrender your lives to Jesus Christ. It won't help to have those New Age ideas that we're going to all be divine beings. No. Sadly, some of the patriot libertarian community, they keep stressing this. These ideas are no different from Hitler and Wagner's ideas that we'd have the Superman and we'd all be divine. No, 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 we're falling into the trap of the enemy. But let's move on, Lou. I think now we have to go to, don't we go to you next? Yes, yes, I want to say at the same time, these coming planned AI assaults have to be vociferously opposed, or it will be hell on earth for all of us. All of you out there have to live your everyday lives. And so, as you're living them, do not forget to tell others. This is your duty. You are watchmen, too. Tell others to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com and hear this program and other programs in our archives. But, you know, as you live your everyday lives, there are also threats to you there. Chemtrails, toxic food, fluoride in the water. Why has Europe never had fluoride in its water? Lou now gives you another piece of the CO2 population killing plan. And this, again, was predictive, just as Allie Henson was given this dream. Alan Franklin, in his 2004 EU Final World Empire book, has valuable background details for the CO2 lie and depopulation plan.
In a British war crimes trial, the story was told of how 400 babies born to women, women slaves, at Volkswagen's vast Wolfsburg plant were taken from them and killed. The VW story is that these babies were victims of an epidemic in a nursery, yet the doctor involved was executed for mass murder. Volkswagen's directors accepted this sanitized so-called history. Among them was Gerhard Schroeder, Germany's future leader. Unembarrassed about his past, Daimler-Benz has taken over Chrysler of the USA, having tricked the Americans into thinking this was some kind of merger of equals, which was how it was sold to shareholders. By late 2000, the last of the senior American management had departed the Chrysler plants, which were firmly in the hands of the men from the firm of the Five-Pointed Star. Condescendingly, they said that American management might be reappointed after several years of reorganization. A new study of the Nazis, The Third Reich, A New History, by Michael Burley, argues that Nazism was a religion. He tells how this national socialism, with its theology, liturgy, and symbolism, aimed to create Hitler's new man, ruthless in order to fulfill his Darwinian destiny. In recruiting men to the SS, Himmler was as hostile to atheists as he was to Christians. The whole truth, obvious to anyone with a background in the occult, can be seen by watching many of the heavily pagan Nazi propaganda films, which are very Mother Earth-oriented. The themes of blood, folk, fire, and soil, the very constituents of paganism and witchcraft, are becoming just as popular today as they were at the time of Hitler's rise to power in the 1930s. I must reiterate that there was no political movement greener than National Socialism. In order to save the Earth, we may just have to sacrifice a few million people, or a few thousand million. Few are as fervent as the evangelizers of environmentalism. Fired with the moral righteousness of old-time preachers, they condemn the sinners who use oil and gas, consume goods, and generally, quote, spoil, unquote, the earth. Go into any classroom in any Western country, and I can guarantee that saving the earth from wicked mankind is a theme. Sinful men are about to cut down the last tree. Forests are going. Food is becoming scarce. We are running out of everything. In fact, while it is true that we should look after God's creation, as he would wish us to, most environmentalism is unwarranted alarmism. And then continuing, again, this is by Alan Franklin from his book, EU, The Final World Empire. The green Nazi agenda of today is every bit as effective as National Socialist Goebbels' lies for Hitler and his henchmen. If you repeat that the Earth faces global warming often enough on nightly TV news, most people will believe it. If you constantly tell children the earth is running out of trees, they believe you, notwithstanding that Canada and America, to name but two, are virtually wall-to-wall trees. You can drive for days through, for example, New England, and see nothing but millions and millions of trees, all carefully tended and cropped so they go on paying dividends. In Britain, the first thing most householders do when they move into a new home is to plant trees. Yet these are the people who have been conned that there are almost no trees left. In the area where my paper circulates, you can be persecuted, or I should say prosecuted, for trimming a branch off what Americans would regard as a weed tree. I met someone who chopped down a straggly sycamore tree which had grown up through a disused coal bunker. For this, he was taken to criminal court and fined. If you dare to point out the illogicality and stupidity of any of this, the Greenies' wrath is upon your head. Because I supported the retention of an airfield in our district, a group of environmental loonies marched through the town, waving banners saying, Alan Franklin is an enemy of the people. Of these people, certainly. You see, what I had challenged was not a viewpoint, but a faith. A faith just like Nazism. Most Greens are innocent of all this. They just haven't thought through their political antecedents. However, it is true that Greens are absolutists and more vehement than many religious fundamentalists. They believe we are afloat on a godless spaceship Earth, and unless drastic action is taken, Earth is at risk. Don't be surprised if this drastic action includes the calling of inconvenient people, especially the elderly who need expensive hospital treatment or nursing home care. If people are constantly portrayed as the problem, as the blot on the face of Mother, as they are in our schools, it follows that the removal of large numbers of people will solve Earth's problems. Hence a recent surge in support for euthanasia, a straw in the wind, I can assure you. In November 2000, euthanasia was finally legalized in Holland, one of Europe's most permissive and liberal countries. In practice, quote-unquote mercy killing has been a feature of Dutch life for years, but although a blind eye was turned to it, it was not legal until now. In 1999, Dutch euthanasia organizations said that 2,216 patients were, quote-unquote, helped to die by their doctors. The new law says that adult patients must have made a voluntary and well-thought-through request to die. They must also face, quote, unremitting and unbearable suffering, unquote, if they were to carry on living. Those asking to die must be briefed by a doctor and be fully aware of their medical situation. This echoes the tight restrictions that were first placed on abortion in both America and Britain. Once the principle was established, the liberal lobby soon made the strings, or soon made sure the strings were loosened. And today we have virtually abortion on demand.
But there's a little bit of hope there in Texas with that heartbeat law. And,
yes.
You know, now let's move and bring some of Alan's concerns right up to, we said, your everyday lives. You have to stay well. Lou, let's get the article on the meat quickly from Bill Gates' plan.
Yes, Bill Gates, a Beyond Meat stakeholder, wants all first world countries to eat synthetic meat. This is Friday, February 19th, 2021, by Ethan Hoff, Natural News. Microsoft co-founder and billionaire eugenicist Bill Gates recently spoke with MIT Technology Review about his latest plan to convert all first world Western nations to a steady diet of fake meat. An early investor in Beyond Meat, which manufactures artificial beef, Gates says the wealthiest countries in the world need to be eating, quote, 100% synthetic beef, unquote, because of global warming. Gates and other elitists, on the other hand, can still eat real meat, because their actions do not contribute to climate change. Bill Gates stated, I do think all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. And he pointed out, he plainly pointed out about bovine flatulence, that also known as cow farts, as evidence that human consumption of real meat is destroying the planet. He went on to say, you can get used to the taste difference, and the claim is they're going to make it taste even better over time. Eventually, that green premium is modest enough that you can sort of change the behavior of people or use regulation. Note, and I'm inserting here, note that word. Or use regulation to totally shift the demand, unquote. Even though humans have been consuming meat for thousands of years without issue, Gates says that today the practice is collapsing the planet and must be stopped by converting all meat to genetically modified, GMO, soybean-based alternatives, as one example. Because soybeans and other toxic chemicals used in Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, fake meat products, do not fart like cows do, Gates says they are clearly the green option for saving the planet from global warming. Gates claims, quote, there are all the things where they feed them different food, like this one compound that gives you a 20% reduction, that is, in methane emissions. But sadly, those bacteria in the digestive system that produce methane are a necessary part of breaking down the grass, he added. And so I don't know if there will be some natural approach there. I'm afraid the synthetic protein alternatives like plant-based burgers will be required for at least the beef thing. Since it is apparently too expensive to convert every poor nation to synthetic meat, Gates has set his sights on making the change in wealthier, that's in quotes, in wealthier Western nations, like the United States and Canada. He says, so for meat in the middle income and above countries, I do think it's possible. But it's one of those ones where, wow, you have to track it every year and see, and the politics are challenging. There are all these bills that say it's got to be called, basically, lab garbage to be sold. They don't want us to use the beef label, unquote. Gates also has concerns about burping livestock, which release gas into the air that he insists is warming the planet. If animals that burp and fart are not completely eliminated from existence and replaced with Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods factories, then the entire global ecosystem will collapse.
And I guess that it's rather selective, those beings that burp and fart. Some of them are worth more than others. Just as in George Orwell's Animal Farm, the pigs were the leaders. And it began with all animals are equal, but then we learned that some animals were more equal than others. So we don't think that the billionaires of the world are burping too much or farting too much to be led down that hallway to wherever the splicer is going to take them and have those genetic vaccines put into them. No, they're going to have saline shots. They are different. And we were surprised, not really surprised, but we hadn't known that Congress doesn't have any mandate to get any COVID shots.
Is there anybody surprised by that? When you're in power, you're the guy that makes the rules, and you make them the way you want them to be. So Congress and certain other officials in the government are home scot-free, whereas the lower guys, like airline pilots, no, they got to get the shots.
That's right, and then they die in midair. We hope that you have gotten a lot of important information for the well-being in future years, the warnings. Prepare. And if you can help us, we need over $400, about $500 for November. To pay Global Star and to pay WWCR. So if you can help us, write a check to WWCR or to Global Star Communications and send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And cash can be accepted as well as postage stamps. We thank those of you who are listening, and we are praying for you, and we are working in trust. Trust in Jesus Christ, who is our risen personal Savior. Good night.